Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, May 23rd, 2014, and this is Jeff Dunphy coming to you. And our show is called Retooling for Your Coming of Age. We talk about world events. We talk about geopolitical events. We talk about evolutionary events, and we talk about awakening the people who have an open enough mind to pay attention to other things other than what mass media is telling you. I've recently been reading James Rickert's new book called The Death of Money, and it brings to light a few things that we have spoken of over the years, certainly Bosco and I continue to speak of over the years, on how things are changing in the financial business and world. He chats about the euro, he chats about China, he chats about the potential for the waging of war, not with bombs and guns, but with financial instruments. And so consequently, it is incredible food for thought, and I couldn't recommend the book more highly. His first one was Currency Wars as well, and where he was engaged as a participant in war games, but that didn't have guns and bullets in them, bombs and bullets, but how to declare war by using financial instruments to declare war. So that being said, what has recently transpired this week is that we have seen an unprecedented deal between Russia and China. In Russia has decided to sell to China $400 billion worth of natural gas. However, they are not going to do it in U.S. dollars. They are going to do it in the rubles or the renminbi or the Chinese yuan, whatever. It's the same difference. So the consequence of this is something that Rickert has been saying for a long time. And it's certainly the evolution of the decline of an empire. And it certainly speaks volumes about Putin saying to the Americans, sorry, I'm not going to be, I am the bully, you can't bully me around, which gives us modest pause, if you will. And it also lends itself to one of the final nails in the coffin of the U.S. currency. Now, as we have been saying for a long time, it isn't a function of if things are going to collapse. It's merely a function of when. But the premise is, and one of the good things that happens when we prepare for this stuff, when we wake up and see what is because it doesn't happen Thursday at 5 o'clock, certainly it gives us the opportunity to chat with people about getting out of the system, as Jim Sinclair would say on his site, and also preparing oneself for the decline of an economy and the time it takes, that we have enough warning. And that also comes back to the old priest who was in the church, and somebody said the dam had broken, so he needed to get all of his parishioners out of the church. So he delegated a few people to go get their trucks and buses and carriages, and away they went, and they gathered everybody up out of the church, and he was the last one left, and the guy said, come on, Father, we have one more seat left in the bus. And he said, no, God's going to save me. And the next go-round, he pitched back up somebody in a boat now, because the floodwaters had started to rise up into the church, and he was floating in the middle of the church, and a boat showed up and said, come on, Father, I will save you. And he said, no, God's going to save me. So he's now up on top of the church, holding on to the steeple, and a helicopter comes and throws down a rope. He says, come on, Father, we'll come. Grab onto the ladder and we will save you. And he said, no, God's going to save me. And sure enough, he drowns. He gets swept away and drowns. And he's standing at the pearly gates in St. Peter's there, and St. Peter looks at him and says, why the long face? And he said, well, I thought you were going to save me. And he said, just a second, and he checks his clipboard, and he goes, well, first we sent a bus, then we sent a boat, and then we sent a helicopter. What more do you expect? And it also begs the question of, certainly, when you open your eyes and see things as as they are, as opposed to how others, certainly mainstream media, wants you to see them, it begs the question. Pay attention, please. This is not a time that you can stick your head in the sand. Not a time you can stick your head in the sand. So we continue to work on retooling for your coming of age so that we can prosper as this era ends and a new one begins. Now, part of our agenda is chatting about and propagating something that our friend Greg Braden propagates, and it's called the three C's. So when we were in the engineering faculty lecturing to engineering students, we talk about the three C's, and they are cooperation, collaboration, and collectivism. And the old adage, as go we, so go I, lends itself to paying attention to the fact that there aren't a whole lot of people on the planet who are playing any other game but the game of what's in it for me. And this leads to bad things. And there's somebody posted on one of the Facebook sites a little thing by Louis C.K., and it's a child talking about having enough. And as those of you who are parents, we wander through whether our kids have enough. If they in fact argue, why did Johnny get more potatoes or more of a bigger steak or whatever than me? And however, one of the children comes back to Louis in this very telling conversation and sort of describes the only time you should be looking into the bowl of your neighbor or friend is to gauge to see that they have enough to eat, not to see if they have more than you. Oh, out of the mouths of babes. So let us wander through again. We're going to wander through world stuff, and we will dive into the esoteric as need be, but I want to focus a little more on the world. We have seen the lights turn on regarding the manipulation of gold and silver. Barclays Bank has recently been fined £26 million, which is akin to being struck on the wrist by a Nerf bat. And the head of trading and gold fixture is leaving the bank. So this was the one who made sure that the price of gold was exactly as they wanted it to. And this also lends itself to how in God's name can we ever trust a system that is so compromised by manipulation and self-serving behaviors that you cannot trust it. Market manipulation runs absolutely rampantly. Market manipulation is terrifyingly, it's omnipresent in this system, and it brings us to the context of the law of acceleration. Now, for those of you who have a bit of age wrapped in your character, this iteration, there is the concept, and certainly a conversation that goes around that makes so much sense, yet it doesn't seem to be verified in terms of thinking that time is linear. And that is, things seem to be happening faster and faster and faster. Here it is, the 23rd of May in 2014 already, and it seems as if January just presented itself. Now, I remember my mother saying as a young boy, the reason that time goes faster for adults is that 1 year of a 50-year-old is only 20 or 2% of their life, whereas 1 year in terms of a 5-year-old is 20% of their life. So a year unfolding for a 5-year-old takes 20% of their lifetime. So relatively speaking, that year goes more slowly for a child. And a child, as we all know when we were one, children have a serious preponderance of desiring to be older faster, to get to that place where they can do more things. And then when you get to that place where you can do all things, you want time to slow down. In this time, from a cosmic law perspective, we have the law of acceleration. And the law of acceleration basically stipulates that things are accelerating. And then we have Neil deGrasse Tyson on Cosmos talking about, we watch the universe, and from what we see of the physical universe, the astrophysicist do investigate the non-physical, but they tend to believe that that which they cannot see or measure doesn't exist. But one of the things that he points out is that the universe in and of itself is accelerating. And it makes no sense because the universe as we supposedly know it should be decelerating, should be slowing down. Some would say that the reason for its acceleration is the existence of what we would call in the dark matter and in the dark space, the existence of the other realms of the physical. So not the physical so much as the etheric and the astral and the lower mental. These other bodies are what is causing things to accelerate. So in fact, from an esoteric perspective and from the ancients' perspective, they knew that there are at the end of cycles, this is the end of the Piscean Age, the beginning of the Aquarian Age, at the end of cycles, things accelerate. And consequently, as a result of the acceleration, we are feeling the results of it. We are feeling the implications of it. Now, the law of acceleration goes like this. Your greed, your self-serving behavior, your manipulation of the markets, your incapacity to recognize the motto, as go we, so go I, lends itself to machinations and organization of things that further its demise. So it's as if you're watching things go in a spiral downwards down the drain. And what they do is they do speed up. It becomes a vortex. So even though we think of things accelerating in the short term, inside of minutes or hours or days, if we can bring our scope up, bring our guise up a bit into the realm of decades and into the realm then of centuries, we all of a sudden see that the beginning of the end comes about when the powers that be become so greedy and so outrageously self-serving that they start to screw with everybody else. This was the case as a result and prior to the French Revolution. This was the case in the tens and prior to the First World War, and it was also the case in the Roaring Twenties prior to the Second World War, where the whole context of greed and cornering markets and oligopolies, monopolies, where individuals did everything they could in order to enrich themselves at the expense of others. Now, if we attend to one of the things that Lao Tzu taught us, the quaternary logic, it begs the point of when you transact or when you interact or when you dance with any other person, the dance can have many effects. The first result of a dance with another person, whether it is in business, whether it is in any other fashion, but the first result and the highest result, results in the highest vibratory action, is to have both parties win as a result of the interaction. The next would be to have one party win, but the other party not lose. So one is a positive and one is net neutral. And the third would be one party wins and the other party loses. And then the iteration. Neutral-neutral, neutral-lose, lose-lose. And one of the predispositions of mankind at this time is that in order for you to win, you have to have another lose. And this was a business world that I resided in for decades. And it made me very uncomfortable because there was a certain aspect of business transactions that begged a loser. And so consequently, it struck me as so incredibly robust and also meaningful that Lao Tzu would come up with something that talks about winning and winning in any transaction. Winning and winning suggests that what you and how you interact with another benefits them as well as yourself. And I think we have succumbed to a place in the marketplace where the losers are becoming the vast majority. And the winners are accumulating vast amounts of wealth in order to superimpose their own wishes on the majority. Market manipulation. Retooling. Can we see things a little differently? Can we see things a little differently? So economically, we have Russia and China playing outside of the realm of the reserve world, the reserve currency for the world, which is US dollars, which we have seen coming and talked about. We have the market manipulators in the gold and silver arena being exposed, and consequently people leaving it because people are starting to see how skewed and how gamed the system was. We're starting to see the chinks in China's armor, certainly from James Rickard's book. He talks about how China is working in an unsustainable growth rate. And, you know, it begs the question, what is something that grows uncontrollably, and what's the benefit? What is something that grows uncontrollably? I ask this of many of my students, and they noodle on it for a while, and sure enough, somebody comes up with the answer, and that is cancer. Cancer is something that grows unchecked. Well, you cannot have an economy grow perpetually. It's contrary to the laws of nature. And if we reside in the laws of nature, understanding them, working with them, aligning our actions and our predispositions toward life with them, all of a sudden things get a lot easier, a lot more easy to understand, and a lot more easy to function and facilitate our lives. So there is no way, as Rickards points out in his book, there's no way that China can maintain the growth rate that they want. And one of the things that the Western economies and Western financial analysts have done is they have projected a false growth rate on China and a false consumption rate on China in order to make their financial decisions. Well, the financial decisions that should be preoccupying everybody on the planet right now are how to get out of financial instruments and how to get into something that we call real assets. Now, we would speak of real assets in the term of real estate, houses, farmland, but even more importantly, gold and silver. Financial assets are sitting in a bubble. Tech stocks are sitting in a bubble. You don't have to go very far to find out that there are a lot of things happening right now that where the valuators are scratching their heads going, I do not understand why this is happening. One of the many reasons is because the U.S. is printing money as fast as they can to buy up all these assets. So consequently, their value isn't so much increasing nominally. Their value is increasing nominally, the face value of these things, but in real terms, the value is declining because it now takes there's now two or three times the amount of money in the system. So now let's chat about other ramifications of what happens in the place where greed and nonsense happens. And then let's also chat a little about how it manifests itself on Mother Earth. Now, somebody brought to my attention the other day a phenomena on the other planets in the solar system and how the other planets in the solar system are going through enormous weather changes, enormously volatile weather changes. And it, again, begs the observation that merely because you're having emotional challenges, merely because you're having familial upset and everybody's getting upset and getting strange and odd and peculiar, be very ever mindful not to think that you are alone in these challenges. Other families are having them. Cities are having them. Countries are having them. Oh, the globe is having them. Oh, other planets in the solar system are having them. As above, so below. This is another one of the laws. The law of correspondence, and it's been taught forever in the ancients. Now, if we understand that all of this stuff is happening, how is it that we are unaware of if it happens above, then it has to happen below? That's a bit naive, and that's a bit unaware, and this is, again, one of the parts of our agenda of waking up to what we're doing. Now, I want to chat a little about what is happening on the globe, on Mother Earth, Because if you're going through nonsense and upset and turmoil, Mother Earth is too. It cannot help but, relatively speaking, the law of acceleration. It expresses itself in many spheres of life on Earth. So here's an interesting statistic. Earthquakes and Earth events have accelerated beyond where they have been in the past. So get a load of this. In the first 16 days of May, we had 16 earthquakes of a magnitude 6 or better. We used to have an earthquake of 6 or better once every month, once every quarter, once a year, historically, and now they're coming at the pace of one a day. This is Mother Earth expressing the law of acceleration. We're also starting to see the earthquakes happening in places that we haven't seen earthquakes before. So we now have tornadoes, and we have hurricanes, and we have earthquakes. So here's another statistic. From the year 1975 to 2008, earthquakes of a magnitude or 3 or greater or better were about 2 a year, and now they're about 40 a year in recent years. Again, what's causing this? There's all kinds of things happening. We know that the rotation of the Earth and the electromagnetic field around the Earth is shifting and changing. Those of you who are navigators do know and understand that when you navigate, there is the difference between true north and magnetic north, and you need to make accommodations accordingly. You also have the cooling down in some areas and the heating up in others, where we're seeing incredibly large buildups of hot summers and warm winters and cold winters. Sorry, you can hold on for a brief moment, ladies and gentlemen. I have to attend to something. My apologies for that interruption, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody came to the front door of the house that needed attending, even after they had been instructed not to ring. Anyway, we're back to earthquakes, we're back to hurricanes, and we're back to tornadoes. We are unfortunately in a place where the Earth is reflecting the stuff that's going on. Now, I also want to speak about and further reiterate how the end of one era harkens in and is the harbinger of the beginning of a new era. And a few shows ago, we had a drunken upset by one of my good friends who said, all you do is bitch and complain and there's no answer or solution. And in that show, we wandered through the answer and solution. We wandered through preparing. We wandered through being able to see through the news. And we wandered through recognizing that one cycle ends and bad stuff happens, but one cycle begins. And certainly what I've heard and seen and read and studied is, even though it may look dark, the old phrase, it's darkest just before the dawn, presents itself. And it is, we are on the verge of something quite spectacular in the history of the Earth, in the history of the world. There will be great turmoil. We will see more earthquakes. We will see the melting of ice. We will see the rising of the sea levels. And it will be quite devastating on one hand, but it will be, if you have the ability to see the perspective on the other, you will see the cleansing of the Earth in a manner that will serve all of humanity moving forward. Let us remember, for those of you with ears to hear and eyes to see, that things are not as they seem. And there are now a number of individuals out there propagating the concept of waking up, propagating the concept of time to retool. We have historically lived in a society where consumption is the engine by which it operates. We have operated in a mindset where shortage is the assumption. This is not the way. There is abundance. There is flow. There are great things happening, continuing to happen as we leave one era and we begin a new one. And to that, ladies and gentlemen, we have a short show today. However, I would like to reiterate, as always, my great appreciation for allowing me to be of service, my understanding that this is something that needs doing, and my appreciation for your attention to this message, retooling for your coming of age. Thank you very much, and I will see you next week.